On this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success, get ready to get analytical. We're going to talk with the president of staffing industry analysts, Barry Aysen.
Welcome to Secrets of Staffing Success
from Haley Marketing.
Candid conversations with innovators and thought leaders in the staffing and recruiting industries.
Your host for Secrets of Staffing Success is Todd Lewandowski, Director of Content Marketing with 15 years experience in marketing for the staffing industry.
You can follow the show on iTunes, Spotify, Google Play, Stitcher, and the podcast app on your Apple device. And now, here's Todd.
Our guest this week on Secrets of Staffing Success is the president of staffing industry analysts and also the co-author of Breaking Through Leadership Disciplines from Top Performing Staffing Firms. He is Barry Aysen. Barry, thanks so much for joining us this week.
Well, it is terrific to be here. Thank you very much, Todd, for having me.
Well, before we get started, why don't you tell us a little bit about SIA, what you guys do there for people who might not know?
Sure. I'm happy to do that. And staffing industry analysts, we've been around since, I think, 1989 or so, and we're all about research and analysis around the staffing industry, the workforce solutions ecosystem, and increasingly now the gig economy. And we do that through research memberships that we have both for staffing suppliers as well as folks on the corporate buyer side, people in HR and procurement. And then many people know us for our conferences as well as our publications. But we have 8 conferences a year in the U.S. and in Europe, and including. Staffing Industry Executive Forum, which is our sort of flagship event here for the industry, and most recently a collaboration in the gig economy, which has been our fastest growing event and reflects, I think, a lot of the interest that's going on right now in the way that the industry and the ecosystem are changing.
Yeah, that's kind of where I wanted to start things off here. You know, the most recent numbers, the current gig economy, $3.7 trillion. That is just a massive, massive number. how much higher can we expect that to go? Or are we at our peak here and maybe we're looking at a coming downfall?
Well, I think that it's important to say that it's absolutely going to go higher. And, I think there's tons of growth opportunity ahead. And it's also true that the industry and the ecosystem around it in large part, it's a cyclical thing. So, you've always got to expect in this business upturns as well as downturns. It's really in the nature of the business. When you're talking about short-term work of any type, it's about helping organizations solve their short-term problems. And part of the reason they're not hiring full-time workers is because they don't know what the future will bring, and they need to have flexibility in their labor force. So, I think we will see ups and downs. We do think the long-term outlook is really quite good. And I think just to unpack that $3.7 trillion, and here I think is where the really interesting opportunity lies for the staffing industry. The vast majority of that, and that was our global estimate for spend on the gig economy, that includes temporary staffing. It includes all the internal seasonal employees and temps that organizations have, and it includes independent contractors as well as outside consultants and people who work through human cloud platforms. So all these people who are doing short-term work, the biggest component of that is independent contractors. And independent contractor, that's about 4 times more than the staffing industry. And so just to plant in people's minds, regardless of whether the gig economy grows or not, there's a big opportunity. Those independent contractors are relatively unmanaged, And I think that a big opportunity for folks in the staffing industry.
Hmm. You mentioned the cloud gig economy in there too. And I'm wondering, is this a threat? Is this an opportunity for a staffing industry where, you know, now you have people who can do any number of jobs from really anywhere in the world?
Well, that's true. And, I would see it as both a threat and an opportunity to the traditional staffing industry. You know, I don't think that, I've seen a number of different waves of technology innovation in staffing over the years. You know, we heard about when the job boards first came along. I was actually, you know, involved in a project at the time when I was working at Adecco with a bunch of the big global staffing firms, and they had all their strategy people together talking about, you know, what are we going to do if job boards come and disintermediate the industry. That, of course, didn't happen, and in fact, staffing firms ended up being some of the biggest partners of those tech players. Then we see, you know, the next sort of wave of technology was the growth of VMS. I think a lot of staffing firms may be much less happy about that, but the industry is still there, and has, in fact, I would argue, VMS has led in a lot of ways to growth at the top line for a lot of staffing firms. It's given clients the confidence that they have some control over their spend and willingness to spend more. It has put pressure on margins. So now we see this next wave of innovation, which we call the human cloud, the online platforms that are connecting workers in work without a lot of human intervention in between, a lot of recruiters in between. I think it's going to be a big change over time for the way the industry operates. But I don't see it as being the end of the staffing industry by any way. What I think is much more likely is we're going to see a convergence where staffing firms are going to start looking a lot more like technology players. And the technology players, they're realizing they need to be adding in a lot more service to their operations as well.
Well, I know you're a numbers guy, being an analyst. You know, when we look at unemployment right now, record unemployment, some industries are at less than 1% unemployment.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Yeah, and I guess the simple question is, you know, what can we do here? being in the staffing industry, what do we do about this?
Right. Well, you know, I think there's a few things to say about it. The great news about very low unemployment is that the staffing firms that are really good at recruiting, this is your moment to shine. Mm. And so I think everybody in the industry should be excited about a tight labor market. It's a way better situation to be in than the opposite. You know, when unemployment is, you know, if you remember the Great Recession, At that moment, it was like the last thing clients needed was help from staffing firms. They had candidates all over the place. This is a great situation to be in. It's an opportunity for folks in the industry to really shine, to show the value that they bring to clients, to get them the talent that they need. That being said, it is a situation where right now what we hear from staffing firms is, you know, the greatest drag on growth right now is talent. You know, they've got the orders, they've got clients who need the people. They're having a hard time finding the candidates. And so I think it's an opportunity for staffing firms to start thinking much more creatively about the deal that they're offering to their temporary workers and making sure that they're really seen as a great place to work for temporary workers. We actually have, we sponsor, best staffing firms to work for sort of competition. There's no charge to participate in that. It's a great way, if you're really good as a place to work at, it's a great way to get, some visibility for your organization. So I think there's that. And then I think the you know, the deal that you offer to workers needs to be changed. And then I think you, staffing firms need to be thinking more creatively about how they're developing talent. Yeah. And, you know, historically, staffing has never looked at training, for instance. And that's always been something like, oh, my God, why would we offer training? These people come and they go. You know, it, we can't make that investment. You know, we're seeing now more and more, particularly in places like in IT and the like, where, you know, this sort of merger of what might look like, you know, at an extreme end, might look like a boot camp sort of, you know, quick development of workers and then placing them into jobs. And I think the industry has a great role for that in, you know, in the U.S. economy. We're really, the last mile, as it were, for connecting workers with work. You know, you've got people who have some experience, but they might not have exactly what you need for a particular job. That's an opportunity for staffing firms. We're seeing a few that are interested in that and you know, have made some good success.
Yeah, I'm curious to see how that develops, really, this training. You haven't heard much of it from, you know, at least staffing firms that I talk to on a regular basis, that that concept of training and how that's going to factor into their budgeting down the road. You know, we've had Kelly McCreet from Hamilton Riker on recently talking about, you know, the way they're using VR as training for their candidates. And I wonder how much, how this is going to start to evolve where, you know, do we look at training as an operational expense at this point, or is it a marketing expense where, you know, if we want to make our candidates more marketable, if we want to place more of these people, we need to get them better skills to make them more marketable.
Right. And certainly that's true that, you know, candidates, I mean, that's part of a lot of why they come to the industry is they're looking to grow their skills. So, you know, the great way to grow your skills, of course, is the type of work you do. But, you know, if you can add a little bit of value to that, then I think there's a, you know, there's definitely an upside. And, you know, staffing firms are taking this seriously. You know, I think Adecco just spent, you know, hundreds of millions of dollars. They bought one of these coding boot camp type companies. So clearly it's on the strategic horizon of, you know, of some of the large global players.
Yeah. We've talked a lot on this show about the majority of the staffing industry tends to be a little behind when it comes to technology, and it admittedly so. Yet, so many of our guests have talked about how technology really is taking over the industry. Are we, if we look at the staffing industry as a whole, are we at a crisis point here where we're behind, or do you get the sense that the industry is finally starting to catch up a little bit?
Yeah. Well, I think at the pace of change in technology, I don't think the industry is ever going to catch up. I'm not sure it's possible for anybody but like the very best funded to constantly catch up, because there's just such a barrage and a pace of change that requires. So I do think it requires staffing firms to be smart about technology and, you know, and to figure out just where they can have an impact with the technology on their processes, where it'll have the greatest effect. Because otherwise, you know, you can spend, you know, sort of endless resources trying to sort out all the different technology options. And I think that is a challenge for the industry. The great thing about staffing, I think, is staffing firms are incredibly adaptive. And, you know, all of this technology is going to need people to, you know, to sort of integrate it, to make it work, you know, to present to clients, to make it as easy as possible for the clients and the candidates. And so, you know, I said at the opening, you know, I really do believe in this this idea of convergence, that, you know, staffing firms, like it or not, are going to be more and more like technology firms. The good news is that there's lots of technology out there. There are a lot of companies that are willing to partner with staffing firms. There's stuff you can get off the shelf and, you know, all sorts of opportunities to you know, to pick and choose from the tech options that are out there to see what might work in your operations. I think it does require people to, you know, a little bit of a different mindset, and, you know, more of an openness to technology. You know, by the way, I don't think this is unique to the staffing industry. I think every industry, you know, if you think about artificial intelligence, it's like every industry is now figuring out how is that going to change the way their business is.
Right.
So, you know, it's just, I mean, I think, you know, staffing folks in general are people. They're not, you know, they don't come out of a tech background necessarily, but I think, you know, all of us in the industry and in society are just, you know, going to get more comfortable with technology. If you look at it, think about how great, you know, when job boards first came out or, you know, VMS and the like, you know, companies have, that have thrived in that have really figured out how to use these tools to optimize their business, how to work their business around the technology to, you know, to solve the problems that it has and to, you know, to fill in the gaps. And, you know, the industry is incredibly entrepreneurial. So there's all sorts of examples out there of folks who are doing, you know, doing a great job at this. I do think, you know, that it's going to get harder and harder for companies who are just, you know, want to put their head in the sand and just ignore it all. I think that's going to be a tougher thing in the future. So I, you know, maybe that'll be a crisis for some who would rather this all went away.
Let's go on the other side of the spectrum here and talk about what's going really well. You know, what is the staffing industry as a whole doing really well right now?
Well, you know, I think the industry as a whole is, you know, continues to really execute on its core mission of, you know, matching and, you know, and helping people and companies navigate the, you know, the connection in, between work and workers. So the work that needs to get done and the people that are looking for that. So I think that's, you know, that's a critical role. I do see the industry is becoming a lot more innovative right now in thinking more broadly about just, you know, what it is they're doing. We talk about the workforce solutions ecosystem and, you know, staffing is no longer just, you know, temporary staffing and place, you know, perm placement. But there's a whole range of industries around, around the industry, you know, process outsourcing, payrolling and compliance, contracting and consulting, all the technology and a whole range of other, you know, workforce solutions that are around the industry. I think, you know, for many staffing firms, they're finding a way to, you know, use some of those new tools and techniques and bring value to their, you know, value to their clients. And so it's a pretty interesting time. You know, we're hearing a lot of talk about total talent acquisition, total talent management, this idea of staffing and the use of it becoming much more strategic in corporations. And so, you know, we're seeing some really interesting examples of staffing firms becoming much more of a you know, less transactional, more HR consultants, helping clients think about what's the right type of worker for the job that they're trying to get done. And, you know, is it a permanent employee? Is it a temporary employee? Is it some sort of contractor? Is it somebody offshore, onshore, remote worker, you know, a cloud platform worker? Staffing firms are well positioned to advise their clients on this. And, you know, I think there's examples all around of companies that are doing really interesting things in that, and, you know, having great success. I think it's hard to say of like one thing that the industry, you know, as a whole, because the industry is not monolithic by any stretch.
Yeah. We had mentioned earlier AI and VR. Where do you see those technologies fitting into the industry and kind of these early adaptation time frame here?
Yeah, you know, I think that there's big implications for what the role of a recruiter is into the future. And, you know, I can remember back when, you know, the folks in the staffing industry felt, you know, they really competed on, we have the biggest candidate database. And, you know, I have like, you know, 10,000 resumes or 50,000 or 100,000 resumes in my database. And, you know, we found, right, that with the growth of job boards and LinkedIn or whatever, you know, like staffing firms no longer compete on having the biggest, you know, the biggest database. I think the same thing is going to come true eventually in artificial intelligence. I think that, you know, more and more we're going to see AI doing a great job of matching candidates and work opportunities, which is one of those things that, you know, it's an ongoing debate in the industry of like, what is the role of a recruiter and is that really going to happen? I think there's, you know, there's a whole contingent of people who would say, you know, oh, no, technology is never going to, you know, take away that human element of I'll look them in the eye and really know what their heart is saying and what the perfect job is for them. My guess is that it's a combination of, you know, human insight and artificial intelligence that will, you know, will make the best matches. And I think that, you know, people need to be convinced to take imperfect jobs, and candidates need to be, or clients need to be sold on imperfect candidates. You know, no human being is the perfect purple squirrel for every opportunity. Somebody needs to sell that. I don't think an AI is ever, you know, is ever going to sell that. You know, as far as virtual reality, I think that's an interesting one, but certainly it's going to make, you know, the sort of local branch office, be less critical to, you know, to filling orders and to, you know, to getting the work of recruiters done. And, you know, and we're already seeing some of that with video interviews and the like. So, you know, I think a lot of change, coming on that, and lots of interesting things going on.
I was on a panel at a recruiting conference last week, and we were talking about marketing ROI. And I mentioned that, you know, to gauge ROI, the industry needs to get better at tracking where leads and sales are coming from. It's one of my big sticking points when I talk about this industry is they just don't do a great job of tracking where business is coming from. And one of the owners raised his hand and asked, well, how do I make my sales team and recruiters track their leads? And I kind of sat there and I thought for a few seconds, and the best answer I could come up with was, well, you make them. It's their job. This is part of their job. They should be doing it. It's kind of like when my son asks, why do I need to wear my seatbelt in the car? Well, because it's the rule.
Because that's, you have to, right?
Because you have to, right. So it got me, it really kind of stuck with me over this past week, and it got me to wondering, are we looking at a leadership issue in the staffing industry? Where, and this is not, by the way, this is not the first time I've heard this from a staffing owner, where we're just not leading our people correctly, and they're just not doing the basic stuff that's required of them. And I don't know. I just got me to thinking that. I'm not saying there is a leadership issue, but I just kind of wanted to get your thoughts on that.
Well, I think you know, this is I've been sort of obsessed with the topic of leadership in and around staffing for a while now. And, you know, you mentioned a little bit earlier the book that, that I wrote with, my colleague Mike Cleland of Charted Path. And, the book was called, Breaking Through. And it was about what staffing firms have done, who, you know, who went from startup to 50 or 100 million or beyond, which is a very small minority of staffing firms. You know, of the 19,000 staffing firms in the U.S., only 140 or so are over 100 million. And, you know, what we found is we studied a bunch of staffing companies that have grown from zero to 100 million. And, you know, the key difference in those businesses from the other 18,000 something staffing firms that didn't do that, I would argue the key difference is leadership. Mm. And it's the leadership teams and the discipline of those leadership teams. So I think you're, you know, you're absolutely right. Is, I mean, is there, you know, a crisis or a challenge of leadership? I mean, I think leadership is really hard and that, you know, people don't often get trained, right? Or, you know, I mean, you can be taught, but, you know, a lot of people in the industry in particular sort of just get thrown into it. Mm-hmm. But, you know, the companies we've seen that have been really successful, they're very disciplined. And, you know, they've got what we found were sort of five key disciplines. You know, they had a commitment to growth, like they saw that as a priority. They had a good strategy, a direction for the company. They, you know, they had a high performing culture where, you know, the best way to get your staff to track leads and the like is you've got a high performing culture where it's not you looking over the shoulder as the leader, but it's, you know, the culture and everybody in the company sort of insisting if that's a thing that's critical to you that, you know, the culture makes it happen. And then, you know, they've got, a big focus on developing talent, you know, recruiting, training, developing, teaching people what's important, why it's important, how to do their job. And finally, execution. So, you know, a lot of that, I mean, what you're talking about there, the sort of managing leads, you know, you've got to figure out what your processes are that are the key to the operation of your business and really train and execute on that in a way that's going to differentiate you from competition. So, you know, the leadership I think is critical, and it's not easy. But I, you know, I do think there are some lessons people can learn about that.
What can staffing firms do today to prepare for the next maybe 2 to 3 years? Or what should they be doing today, I should say.
Yeah. Well, you know, I think there's two things. It's like you've got to be able to walk and chew gum. You know, you won't have a business in 2 to 3 years if you're not doing the day-to-day execution of, you know, of building a great company. And, you know, I guess the number one thing I'd be encouraging people to do to prepare is, you know, to grow your team, to, you know, to really grow the skills and the capability and, you know, the sort of ability to operate independently of your organization. And, you know, and to be clear about the standards you want to hit and, you know, and to really execute on that. So that's on the one hand. And on the other hand is you've also got to have an eye on the future. Because, you know, I think we're in this time of, you know, of incredible change. I think a lot of the core of the business will always remain the same, that this, you know, connecting workers in work and all the things that get done around that. But the, you know, the future is not, it's not going to be your, you know, your parents' staffing industry. If we look into the future, I think it's going to be a lot more, tech enabled. There's just a lot of change coming. You know, it's not going to end with, online platforms and human cloud. It's just going to continue to accelerate. You know, we see already artificial intelligence. You mentioned virtual reality. We're tracking, you know, our job in large part is to help people look around the corner. And so, like, we're already writing research reports about, you know, what's the impact of blockchain going to be on the staffing industry. So I think, you know, that's the challenge, right? As business owners and leaders is to, you know, to be able to do both, to execute in the here and now, and to get yourself prepared for the future. I think there, you know, there's lots of opportunity out there. And I'm pretty confident that the industry, is going to look different, but I think the industry is going to continue, it's going to continue to thrive, and you know, and there'll be winners and there'll be losers, and that's sort of the way it goes in business.
Before we let you go, Staffing Industry Executive Forum 2019 is what, less than 5 months away now, coming up in February of 2019. Give our listeners what they can expect at this year's conference.
Well, I think we're really excited about it, and it's hard to believe that it's coming up. This year we're in Austin, Texas, the live music capital of America, or so they would claim. Mm-hmm. So we're excited. We've not had the event in Austin before, and you know, I think for those who haven't been there, I think it's a great event that brings together the very senior leadership in the industry and the folks who are on the cutting edge of change. So you know, we'll have the usual. Some really interesting outside keynote speakers. This year, one of our lead keynoters is Dan Pink, who is a cutting-edge leadership and management author and researcher. He also, way back when, was author of the Free Agent Nation, which I think he's got a very interesting perspective. He was sort of early on in this whole transformation and growth of the gig economy and the idea of free agents. And so Dan is going to be there. We've also got Byron Reese, who is a technology guru and artificial intelligence person, who's going to be talking about the transformation that's going on with technology and how it's affecting business and by implication, I think the likely way that's going to play out in staffing, and a very popular Alan Bolio, who is an economist. We've had a few times in the past. The question is, we're in the midst of the longest economic expansion in modern history. You know, how long is that going to go on? What's coming next? Alan's going to have some insights on that. I'm going to be, of course, talking, as I do each year, giving the state of the industry and the outlook, our latest forecast and highlights from our research. And, we'll have, we're in the process right now of putting together a keynote panel of top executives from the industry, giving their perspectives as well. So, I think it's going to be a lot of interesting time. And, as always, I think the networking and the connections are probably some of the most interesting things that go on there.
Yeah, I know we always look forward to when our crew from Haley Marketing comes back from Executive Forum, because there's always some really great information shared there, especially during your State of the Industry talk, to know where we're headed here in the staffing and recruiting industry. So looking forward to that. He is Barry Aysen. Not only is he president of Staffing Industry Analysts, but he's also a fellow alumni of Williamsville South High School. So you've had
Buffalo, New York.
That's right. So you've had two former Billy Greats talking to you today. So that's a treat for everybody out there. Barry, really can't thank you enough. Really looking forward to, as I said, everything coming up with Exec Forum. And thank you so much for being our guest on this episode of Secrets of Staffing Success.
All right. Well, good. Thank you very much, Todd. I enjoyed it. I hope people found it helpful.
Yeah, I know I certainly found it very helpful. My big thanks there to Barry Aysen from Staffing Industry Analysts. If you'd like to know more about SIA, you can check out their website at staffingindustry.com. I got to go back to the conversation he and I were having about the conference that I was at last week. And I don't want to keep harping on this one person, because it's not just one person. I've heard this from many clients over the past 15 years. When I talk to them about how do they track where business is coming from. And there's always the, probably 90% of the time they tell me, well, we don't. Or, our sales reps don't do a great job of it. And as I was sitting in a 3-hour delay at the Philadelphia airport last week, I really kept thinking about my response to this person. And, I wanted to be, somewhat gentle to the person, but I really kind of was kicking myself for not being a little bit more forward with the answer. when he said, you know, well, how do I make my staff, my recruiters track where business is coming from? And, you know, I gave him the standards. Well, you just make them do that. But then I thought about some other answers to this, and really it comes down to leadership. And I'm so glad that Barry brought up that point about, you know, how the company's going from basically zero to, you know, 50 to 100 million. You know, what was the big determining factor there? And for most of those companies, it was leadership. So there's kind of three fairly candid answers I would have liked to have given this recruiter. One is, well, if your current recruiters can't do this basic task of their job, find ones who will. Find people who will listen to you and will value your leadership and will follow the rules of the company. The second answer is, well, you take away something from them. You know, at Haley Marketing, we are very fortunate enough to have quarterly profit sharing. And part of that is we have to track our time. And if we don't have our 40 hours in our time tracking, guess what? We don't get profit sharing. And I will raise my hand and say that I am one of the worst in the world when it comes to tracking my time throughout the day. But guess what? I really like free money. And so you can bet your butt that at the end of the month, I've got my 40 hours in there. And that's kind of the mindset that I wanted this person to get into, to make sure that their sales reps knew there was consequences if you don't do this. I'm not going to give you your commission on this if you don't track your time. Track where the leads are coming from, where the business is coming from. It's a really simple thing to do, but it makes a big, big difference when it comes to marketing spend. How are we going to know what's working and what's not working if we don't know where the leads are coming from? So maybe we're spending, you know, just random number, $10,000 on a certain marketing tactic. How do we know that we couldn't get better results out of spending $5,000? Well, you understand that by tracking where the business is coming from. And then kind of my third snarky answer was, well, maybe some leadership courses is next for you there. Because if your team can't follow one very simple rule, then maybe it's time to take a step back and say, am I really leading these people properly? Am I telling them, here's why we need to make sure that we're tracking our leads? Because it's going to make a big difference to our bottom line if we can cut our marketing spend in half and get better results just by knowing what's working and what's not working. So that was my kind of snarky response. Obviously, I didn't say that, but I think, you know, Barry even said it too. A lot of people, and especially in the recruiting industry, where you're starting off as maybe just you in an office trying to recruit people, and then suddenly it builds and builds and builds, and next thing you know, you've got 9 people that you're managing. All right, well, I'm used to only managing myself. So it's not a knock that's not a huge criticism here, but I think as leaders, as staffing leaders and recruiting leaders, we need to take a little look inside once in a while and say, hey, am I doing everything I can to give my team the support that they need, to give them the leadership that they need to really make our business successful and take it to the next level? So that was just my little rant from my conference last week. But I want to thank Barry Aysen from Staffing Industry Analysts. Again, if you want to check out more about SIA, they are at staffingindustry.com. If you'd like to find out more about this show, you can go to haleymarketing.com, go under the freebies section, and you will see all of our past episodes. And of course, we encourage you to subscribe on iTunes, on Google Play, on Spotify, on Stitcher, on your podcast app, on your Apple device. Anywhere where you download podcasts, you can find Secrets of Staffing Success. And don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Staffing Podcast. You'll find all of our, you know, most recent episodes. We always post them in there, along with some other great information from the rest of our crew at Haley Marketing Group. That'll do it for us this week. Want to thank you so much for listening, and we will talk to you next time on Secrets of Staffing Success.